Good evening. Welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I am your host, Kelly Schwartz. We've got a fun show lined up for all you listeners tonight. The University of Wisconsin-Arboretum holds a special place in the community's collective heart. It contributes to the health and vitality of Madison by offering a place for active recreation like jogging and hiking, and also quiet activities like wildflower identification and bird watching. There really is a little something for everyone. Located in the heart of Madison, the Arboretum is the jewel of the city, offering the opportunity for a much-needed escape from the hectic flow of city life. In addition to its 1,200 acres in Madison, the Arb also manages an additional 520 acres of remnant forests and prairies throughout Wisconsin. The Arboretum honors the vision of many scientists fundamental in outlining the discipline of restoration ecology and much, much more. And yet, the Arboretum depends on the dedication of a small army of volunteers and part-time staff to maintain and improve its subsistence. Joining me tonight to talk about the Arboretum's goals for conservation, citizen science, and volunteer support are Marion Ferrier, the Restoration Work Party Manager, Judy Kingsbury, Volunteer Program Coordinator, and Ranger Stephanie Peterson. Welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine.
Hey, Thank you, Kelly.
So why don't we start with you, Marion? We're going to go around and talk a little bit about your biographies, about where you come from, how you came to the Arboretum, and sort of what your role is in the Arboretum. So we'll start with you, Marion.
Sure. I am the Restoration Work Party Manager. I've worked at the Arboretum for about 16 years. Part of that was part-time, so somewhere it's probably around more like 12 years, something in there. In the past, I worked at the Biodiversity Project, working on a national project to raise public awareness about biodiversity. And I also work as a consultant for environmental groups on conservation issues relating to biodiversity, restoration, watershed planning, those kinds of things. And I also teach permaculture with Kate Heiber-Cobb with the Madison Area Permaculture Guild. We have a PDC permaculture design course coming up at Edgewood College and through the Madison Area Permaculture Guild in March.
Very nice. And Judy, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I started at the Arboretum as a volunteer when I was new to Madison. I wanted to get involved with something to do with environmental education. So I learned about the Arboretum's Earth Focus Day Camp, became a volunteer there, really enjoyed the experience over two summers. And then when I went back to school to finish my degree in horticulture and conservation biology, I got a position there as a student employee. And when I graduated, I gained a position as a permanent employee. I've been the volunteer program coordinator there for 17 years now. I really enjoy it because it gives me a chance to put my skills and knowledge in horticulture and conservation biology to work. And the key thing for me is that I really like about what I do is that it's a chance to connect people with the natural world so that people can do something positive about our environmental situation in the midst of extreme crises.
And I think that's super, super important, too. I know that's one of the big things that attracted me to kind of working with the Arboretum is just feeling like there's something that I could do within my community to make things a little bit better, you know? I mean, there's such big problems, and it seems so scary to talk about it in abstract, but there really is a lot that just normal people in the community can do to really help out, especially, you know, through the Arboretum and then beyond.
Yeah.
And now that we're in the sixth greatest extinction event happening on the planet, it's something you can do.
Machi.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm the ranger at the Arboretum, and I started almost a year ago, so relatively new. Moved here from Iowa, but before this, I did a lot of work with conservation corps across the country. I worked in Texas, West Virginia, and Idaho doing restoration work and trail work. I am pretty much managing the trail system at the Arboretum, and that involves maintenance of the trails and protecting of the areas around the trails and interacting with visitors who use the trails.
So I've heard from Ranger Christie that the ARB has a nightlife all of its own. Have you gotten to experience anything like that?
Luckily, it's been relatively quiet since I started.
Oh, that's good.
She's actually commented on how quiet it's been and how it's not fair to her, but there definitely has been some strange stuff that has happened. There's definitely some unsanctioned activities in the woods.
Oh, and certainly. And I suppose since it's topical, we should maybe mention that there was a manhunt recently in the Arboretum 2 days ago?
On Tuesday,
the beginning of the polar vortex. But we're happy to report that everybody made it out alive and hopefully relatively unhurt despite some encounters with a marsh that maybe were unintended by the refugee. So, Judy, can you tell us a little bit about some current research projects in the Arboretum and sort of what your involvement in those projects is?
Yeah, so the Arboretum, one of its main functions is as a research facility for the university, and it serves other researchers from institutions in the Madison area and around the country. So there's a lot of neat research going on. One of the big areas is with fire ecology, and projects to do with fire ecology have been taking place since the 1940s. One of the projects looked at, you know, the timing of fire, the intensity or temperature of the fire, mm-hmm. and how long the fire was on the ground, and the impacts mm-hmm. of those factors on controlling woody invasive species. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing for people involved in prairie and savanna mm-hmm. restoration. Another mm-hmm. big...
Just a quick question about prairie fires. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of listeners are very interested to know, like, maybe you've had the opportunity to see some of these restoration fires that have been done either... do you guys work with the Lakeshore Preserve as well?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they'd burned there in the last year or so, right?
They've burned there. And the neat thing, we're both, you know, part of the university, and mm-hmm. the members of our burn crew, of our land care staff, have gone over to help out Lakeshore Nature Preserve mm-hmm. when they need more crew members. And some people from Lakeshore have come to the Arboretum to help us with burns. Mm-hmm.
And how big does a fire need to be in order to be effective in achieving conservation goals?
You know, that is not my area of specialty, but I mean, it doesn't have to be very big. We burn sections of our native plant garden that are smaller than an acre, mm-hmm. and that makes a significant difference because the species found in prairies are adapted to fires happening. They have mm-hmm. deep root systems. And so the fire comes, it burns off the dead vegetation from prior years, darkens the ground, mm-hmm. warms it up. And that makes for conditions for good growth, mm-hmm. Better flowering for a lot of prairie grasses. So it doesn't have to be very big.
Sure. So it doesn't have to completely destroy everything. It doesn't have to burn to the ground everything along
in fact, it's a good thing if your fire in some places, and again, I'm not an expert, but mm-hmm. some of what I know is that the fire, if it's patchy, some areas are burned more intensely, some are less burned, some are unburned. That's good because that patchy quality creates conditions where certain insect species or mm-hmm. other animal species can find refuge.
Sure.
Different seeds have different germination mm-hmm. requirements, can be helped by getting burned, and some are better off by not getting burned.
Right. So, because I know a lot of people are concerned about, you know, like the bunny rabbits or the birds that might be occupying these areas during the burn. So it's an impressive sight, but it's not completely leveling everything. Like it's...
No, and when burns happen, they're done. We don't call them controlled burns. We call them prescribed burns because they take place under certain conditions, certain wind speeds, wind directions. And we don't burn all of Curtis Prairie, the world's oldest restored tallgrass prairie. We don't burn all of that at one time. We burn different parts of it to make sure there is refuge for animals
and
other species.
Sure. So what are some of the other research projects that are going on currently?
Another one, a big one that's taken off in the past 5 years is research on Asian jumping worms, Amenthes species, which were first discovered in Wisconsin at the Arboretum. Not something we're happy about, but it is a research opportunity. So a number of people are looking at how fast are these species spreading through mm-hmm. the Arboretum? What kind of habitats do they prefer? What are their impacts on other species? One of the interesting findings has been that the Asian jumping worms and there are at least three species I'm aware of.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I learned that last year.
I also learned, just real quick, there are no native earthworms in Wisconsin.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the glaciers wiped out all the earthworms. So,
mind blown.
I know, very exciting. And so all the earthworms present here before the Asian jumping worms were originally from Europe. And it seems in the forest areas of the Arboretum that the Asian jumping worms have displaced those European earthworms.
Interesting, interesting. And so we have no idea kind of what to expect from this current setup.
No, we don't. We don't know what the impacts will be on the forest, on the vegetation, but that's a big area of research. And last thing I could say, or two other things going on, current research. One, just different things looking at the related to climate change. The Arboretum is one of many sites across the country that is looking at the effects of climate change on the subnivium habitat. Mm. And that's the area between the soil and the snow. So we have a lovely subnivium habitat right now with the snow we have on the ground. With climate change, snow cover hasn't been as deep, hasn't been as consistent. How is that changing through climate change? How will that change? So we're a long-term study site to look at that.
Sure, because for example, field mice depend on the subnivian environment in order to be protected kind of from owls or hawks or other predators, where they can kind of hide and they develop these really elaborate systems and tunnels going through.
And when the snow is shallow enough, you can see the little paths that the voles and other little mammals make. So those are some of the research projects. One of the neat things, we're also doing monitoring of rare species, bumblebees, monarch butterflies, orchids, a range of other species. And those monitoring projects are really a way that volunteers can play a significant role in the in the research world and at the Arboretum.
And this is the study of phenology.
Yeah.
Correct. And this is something that, although Leopold was very instrumental in sort of establishing, so the Arboretum is unique in that it has a really extended history in terms of these dates of when the first robin was seen, for example, or in
Yeah, that's true. First robin, first woodcock, that's one that Aldo Leopold wrote about woodcocks in his books, A Sand County Almanac. And he and his student Sarah Elizabeth Jones started collecting phenological data in the 1930s, and they collected about 10 years worth of data at the Arboretum, and also Leopold collected it at his shack, his family's place up along the Wisconsin River. And different people have continued that data collection since then. And Stephanie's, the group of volunteers she works with, the stewards, take part in that phenological data collection. And we've got steward training coming up this spring. If maybe Stephanie could say something about that.
Well, first I want to just start with like an overview of, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities through the Arboretum. Can you talk a little bit about how these volunteers are utilized in the Arboretum broadly? So like one example is through stewardship. What are some other ways that volunteer help is utilized?
There's a range of ways. I just finished data collection for last year, and there were 925 people who volunteered at the Arboretum, doing everything from acting as stewards out there walking the trails, restoration team leaders who lead our work parties, at the visitor center as receptionists or bookstore clerks, citizen science monitoring of different species, serving on the prescribed burn crew, in our gardens, so a whole, and many other ways. Volunteers play a significant role in caring for the Arboretum.
So can we talk a little bit about stewardship then, for example? So there's a couple different opportunities that people might want to be aware of. There's going to be stewardship training, correct?
Yeah.
And there's also going to be volunteer team leader training. So why don't we start with stewardship training and kind of what the goals of stewardship are at the Arboretum and how the training typically kind of works.
Okay, yeah. The stewards at the Arboretum are pretty much ambassadors for the staff. They are out there on the trails, often at times when we are not there, because they usually work after work, during business hours, and they're just out there educating about our mission, history, and like proper use of the Arboretum. They help by being out there all year round, and really can just, it's a pretty flexible volunteer position because they can pick their own time and whenever it works for them. All we ask for is 4 hours a month. On a typical patrol, they usually will interact with visitors they see, which could be just saying hi, but occasionally they do have to educate them about different rules or regulations we have that they may be breaking. But they could also be picking up litter, keeping the trails and parking lots clean, or helping ID plants. Really what they're more knowledgeable on. The training is about 20 hours over 3 days. It's going to be Sunday, March 31st, Saturday, April 6th, and Saturday, April 13th. And at the training, we'll be going over a wide range of topics, including history of the Arboretum, current ARB projects and goals, rules and how to communicate them to visitors, and a lot more other things. We'll also be doing tours that are led by ARB staff from the education, research, and land care units. And then after the training, they're able to go out on their own and do patrols that fit their schedule. And they also have the opportunity to do more citizen science projects like phenology, and work with butterflies, dragonflies, and bumblebees in the research unit.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of those citizen science projects?
Yeah, so I manage the phenology data. I really enjoy doing it, not so much with the birds. I'm not that great at IDing those.
What's wrong with the birds, Stephanie?
I really just don't know birds that well. Luckily, we have one steward who is very good at them, and he usually covers most of them. But I do like finding the plants because it's like a little scavenger hunt.
Oh, it's so fun. Yeah, it's so much fun.
And I'm not really that good at IDing those either, but I can always take a picture and bring it back and checking it in some guide. But so there's about 260 species on our list that we keep track of, and this past year I think we got like 210 of them, so did pretty well. And yeah, so I manage that, and definitely something that the stewards are automatically involved with. Last year we had around 20 different stewards contribute to the list.
Okay, and if people wanted to look up a little more information about the training or find a point person, where could they go to learn a little bit more about stewardship training?
The information about the stewardship training is on the Arboretum website, which is arboretum.wisc.edu, and there's a news story about it right on the front page. And that and other volunteer opportunities are on the volunteer page of the website.
And I've also posted the link, the news link, on the PNM Facebook page.
Oh,
so you can also
you
can also go there, and we'll repeat it again at the end if you know if anybody missed.
Great.
So great. Excellent. So Marion.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you tell us a little bit about restoration team leader training, kind of the history of it, what sort of topics would be covered in the training?
Sure. The restoration team leader training started in the early 90s, around 1992, as a community-based restoration project. The Arboretum was founded with over 200 men working there for full-time 6 years in the 1930s. And now we have a field staff of about six people full-time, and so we really need the hands-on labor pool to actually do the restorations. And so this training, we do it, hold it every other year. It's a professional level training in that you get a lot of information. You have to, we cover we cover people skills, like how to lead different groups of types of ages and different groups of people. We have communication skills, presentation skills. Team leaders do teachable moments during work parties, how to deal with conflicts. They learn about the land ethic. They have to understand safety rules and considerations, how to lead a good work party. And then they also learn a lot of technical skills. They learn how to identify plants, both native and non-native, but also what makes a healthy ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. And some aspects of landscaping ecology. Also
How do you read the landscape?
Yeah.
What does a healthy restoration look like?
Sure.
What does it feel like? What are the observation skills? How do you share those observation skills with other people?
Yeah.
Then they also learn the management techniques, like what goes into a prescribed burn and how to prepare for it, how to collect seed, how to put seed down, how to manage for the invasives, whether it's pulling or cutting and treating with herbicide. And so a lot of the people who take this training actually end up even going on to become professionals in the field. So it's a good training that way. They also have to, though, take first aid and CPR, adult first aid and CPR training as well.
Sure. So,
and there is a cost involved with this training.
Sure, like an external cost.
Yes.
And there is a cost, in addition to the first aid training, which is not offered by the Arboretum, there is a cost. But again, I mean, it's of great value, too. Again, the kind of skills that you learn and the investment that you give, I mean, and just the pamphlets that you get. I mean, like,
you get a big notebook. The cost is to cover the notebook and all the
You get a lot. Yeah. You have a
physical.
Yeah. You do get a lot physically, like, out of it.
Yes.
So it's a lot more intensive than the stewardship training, for example.
Right. Yeah. And I kind of run it more like it's about leadership and community engagement as much as it is about restoration as well. And so, so if you want to learn more about how to manage people, for example, or manage people in the field, this is a good forum to test that out.
Oh, absolutely.
And
what is the expectation after the training for the volunteer team leaders?
So we have this is going to be about a 50-hour training, and we've done 60. I think, Kelly, you did it was like 64, 68, which was like way too many hours.
Oh,
and
it wasn't enough. We're just getting started.
And then we've done 40, and we're just settling on around 50 hours. So you get 50 hours of training, and then in return, we ask that volunteers give us 60 hours in return. Mm-hmm. So that usually takes about a year and a half. It's 4 hours every Saturday morning.
Right.
Over a course of, a year and a half. So that's about 15 times.
Sure.
60 hours.
And there are a lot of volunteer team leaders that have been doing this. I mean, not a lot necessarily, but there's some that have been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah, we have some that have been doing it 10 years. We have one person who's been doing it since 1990. I think it's 93 was when he started. So about 25 years. And so these not only, they're stewards of the land and...
It really gets into your blood.
Yeah.
It builds a lot of love for the land. And, like the more you come, the more protective you feel of it. And, you really feel kind of indebted to the process, I think. So it's a great experience.
And Kelly, so as a team leader, what are some things that you like about being a team leader?
So I did the last team leader training that was offered, and that was in 2017, I think, up until, and then I started doing work parties immediately. I started just doing one every now and then, and eventually I just kind of got in the habit of doing it more often. I found that it was something, so on Saturday mornings is typically like the work parties that we attend to. We have other volunteer opportunities, but primarily as a team leader, we show up at about 8:30 at the Arboretum. We prepare the work tools that will be necessary. We typically have a kind of a list of what needs to be done. We'll be working in like one of three or four core areas, just depending on the goals. A lot of it's cutting. There's some treating of stumps, for example, with herbicide. So we'll need to go pick up those things from another building, get the truck, get everything on there, get hot water in case it's cold out, and we have volunteers that want to drink tea and stuff, make it nice. Then we meet the volunteers at the visitor center or wherever the point place may be. We get them started, and it's been just great. I mean, I remember when I started, I was a little unsure about the teachable moments. So we'll have a break period at some point if you've ever been to, if any of you out there have ever been to like one of these work parties, at about 10:30, we'll typically have a break and we'll have some snacks and cookies, and then the team leaders will have a teachable moment. And I always felt like, who am I to tell people what to do? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel really insecure about this. But, like, it really goes away quickly, and you do build a lot of confidence in yourself and what you're doing. And, I've been doing this, I think I'm at, like, almost 120 hours now in about a year. And it's just been an amazing experience. People are so nice. You know, it's just amazing to see the people that come through and contribute to this great, you know, history of the Arboretum. And they really are what make it great and, you know, make it possible to maintain these lands. So I feel so grateful to them and to the opportunity to be able to do this. So, I mean, I think that for me especially, it was completely, completely positive. You know, I absolutely enjoyed it, you know, 60 hours or, you know, whatever the time investment was. I feel like I got way more out of it than that.
Great. We love our team leaders.
Yay!
We love all our volunteers. I mean, again, volunteers put in nearly 9,000 hours last year.
It's incredible.
To help take care of the Arboretum in a range of ways. And I just want to say, Kelly, you are in the top 20 of volunteers by hours. So thank you for that.
I only get to do it one day a week. Or else I'd be there more.
Makes a difference.
Oh, yeah. It really does.
So the team leader training starts March 31st, along with the steward training. And then it'll be Thursday nights and select Saturdays through July.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if you contact the website, you'll get more information about when the dates are and such.
Sure. And if anybody has any questions, you can feel free to call us at the station, 608-256-2001. You can ask for Kelly. You can ask about the Arboretum volunteer opportunity. They'll find their way to me, and we can maybe help kind of funnel you in the right direction. But the best way is to go to the Arboretum website, check their news, and there'll be all kinds of information about the training, the stewardship training, the volunteer team leader training, and how you can get in contact with Judy and Marion about those opportunities.
And Kelly, I have another question for you if we have time. What has been one of your highlights, or what is one of the things that you've learned that surprised you?
Oh my goodness. Grasses.
What about grasses?
There's just, it's one thing to look at a prairie naively and to see, you know, like the sea of flowers, and it's beautiful, and I think anybody can appreciate that. But when you actually start looking at what is Indian grass, what is big blue stem, what is little blue stem, what is, you know, bottle brush grass, what is wild rye, you know, you just see this amazing diversity, and it's just like a pocket dimension that just opens up to you. So especially volunteering with some other team leaders that are a little more knowledgeable about plant identification than I am. Like I remember one volunteer team leader and I were trying to figure out what this aster was, like this tiny little flower. It was smaller. What is the really tiny one, you know? There's guidebooks included, so we'll work with volunteers to figure out what those are. But I think it's just being able to be out there and experience it and to see it happening live. It's really affecting, I think, to be able to realize just what kind of diversity there is out there.
Mm-hmm.
So in closing, are there anything else that the good people should know about this volunteer opportunity or about other things about the Arboretum?
Well, a couple of things. One thing, if you do want to volunteer, go to the website. There is a deadline. Register by March 20th for either one of these trainings. Our contact information is at arboretum.wisc.edu. Also, if you want to learn more about the current research projects happening, there's a research symposium on Thursday, February 14th in the morning. It's free, open to the public in the auditorium of the Visitor Center. It's from 9 to 11:30 a.m., and you can learn all about cool research projects. One of the presenters also is a volunteer team leader who's a graduate student talking about fungi.
Very good. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much. This has been the Perpetual Notion Machines.